Yep.
C'est parti.
Bonsoir.
Guten Abend.
So, we are going to talk on microcontroller, or on microprocessor in science, sorry. Yann Guidon will talk about the other, and he will also have a workshop with demo and life hacking on it afterwards, starting at 6.
Well, I will stay here to watch the other presentations, so there will not be a workshop per se. So just contact me, come and have a chat, or just click on the website and the links.
Okay, afterwards we will continue on these topics. So if you're interested, make in contact with him for the workshop. And now, it's yours.
Danke. So, good evening. Thank you very much for being here. I'm very glad to be here because I've not been in Berlin for 10 years. For last time it was for another little project, another CPU, but this time it was a huge thing, not a little, any spec like this. The slides will be in three parts. There will be what? There will be the presentation of the project, there will be description of the software, of the ISA instruction set architecture. Then there will be architecture implementation detail, well, not too much, but just enough to have a little taste. Thank you for Pierre, because he lent me his NetBSD laptop, so it shows that things can run everywhere. Open source is great because just transfer Firefox works on NetBSD. Yeah! I'm safe. Thank you to Mr. Tan, who has explained a lot of details about how to design a CPU. And I have 28 minutes for the rest. So, in the description of the workshop, of the presentation, I spoke a bit about Arduino, and it's about the current hype thing, and it's also it just shows that people need to access and want to touch and want to be able to use. So. The processor that I am designing right now is around that principle. So what I did is a big ClicoDroid. So let's start with the first slide. Just a little note. The tools that I use are Nano, GNU Nano, the editor, grep for finding where did I use this function, Firefox. So, yes, we don't need much to create a CPU, but a lot of time to polish things. So, I talk a tiny bit about myself. I'm Yann Guidon. I've been active on the FCPU project. I have my little single-person company known as IGDES, where I do a lot of LED design. I help artists to create and implement and make it work and make it last. So I use a lot of microcontrollers, and often microcontrollers don't cut it. So the YazEP is a single man project, but with a few friends and a few contacts, it's much more nice. For example, Pierre, for example, Sébastien, who invited me, and a few other who can't be there, and hi to the stream. And it is a microprocessor that is embedded. It's something that is not designed to run Linux. It's not something that is designed to run scientific computations. That was for the FCPU, but the name, I chose it because it was free on the, it was free. So yet another small embedded processor, and I discovered that it is also oriental name, probably linked to Joseph. So yes, okay. So that's why I speak about the YazEP. which has a home called yazeb.org, where you will find that. Well, usually you will find this welcome message with a little little introduction window. It's all Windows-based, all written in JavaScript, so better use a recent browser. And you will find the slides if you want to follow through the at home. So you click on archives, which goes to subdomain. Then you click to EHSM, and you see the same slides as I display right now. So this interface that I have shown is all in one. It's mostly a CPU design framework. But when you design a CPU, you don't only design architecture. You need, as we have seen in the last presentation, you need test benches. You need to test against existing software. So you need to code software. So it's an IDE, integrated development environment. And it wasn't born in a week. Well, it was born as a crazy idea 10 years ago. It was a bit of a joke, like the DCPU 16, which is made for a game. But this one was created because during a Skunkworks project, we were handed a proposal for using ARM licenses for SoC. And I was like, I can do the STPU, so I can do my own little embedded processor. So 10 years later, yes! Then 10 years ago, almost right now, I made the last major STPU presentation at the CCC in Berlin. So I return now knowing that I've done some work that can be presented. So I'm quite proud. And afterwards, there was a lot of personal changes because I needed. I was out of university and building a career. And that tiny little CPU became a good hobby because it touches on everything, and I was alone, so I was quiet to all I wanted. And then, seeing how things accumulated, I seen that I had accumulated after many years quite a lot, and so the last years have been more serious. Oh shit, it's getting serious. So 2 years ago, I rebooted the whole project. I had the old website that is also in the archives. Click if you dare. But it's preserved for history and shame too. But I reorganized everything around a window manager that we have seen that organizes the information very easily, and one click can open new things. It's wonderful because it makes an all-in-one system, which can come handy very in a lot of situations. And after a lot of work, and the last 6 months have been very active, and I'm going to freeze and start YASEP 2013. And I told you the little backstory of why it sprung to life. It started as a back of an envelope joke, because, and the Skunkworks project died, but the good thing, the fun things remained. I was alone, I could do it. I was God! Yes. And there's also, so I have listed a lot of reasons for doing a CPU alone, but yes, it must be fun. And that's why it lasted, and that's why it's still alive and growing slowly. But 10 years after, I have a few things. So there's another reason. because soon it will be too late. Have you heard about the Windows 8? It's the new, brand new thing from Microsoft. Well, it's not as easy as that, because one of my motto for a long time is that there can be no free software without free hardware. It's something that is still valid, because the even the Free Software Foundation is getting more is getting more sensitive to this problem, because now you cannot when you buy a new computer loaded with Windows 8, it's designed to run only on that operating system, so you can't easily hack it as easily as the others. It's becoming a mess. So owning the platforms is a means to own our software, and we don't want to be deprived of it. There's also another problem is that Pierre told me, it's active management technology. So in fact, on some Intel platforms, there's a hidden CPU, and that is another way of just look at AMD. So okay, so I'll make my own CPU. It's going to be a little problem, because there are so many patents. So that's why I chose to start completely from scratch and have fun with not classical technologies, because they are all covered by patents, and it's completely useless to try to do something else. So I'm doing some quick and dirty development, I'm having fun, I'm coding things, I'm doing things that are totally unrelated. And in the end, I have some very interesting... It's just trying to not be conventional. So there are drawbacks and some advantages. So, okay, I won't have GCC. Well, fuck it. So, so in the end, YASAP is original because it has to escape potential patents. It is totally libre in the main, in the sense of it's not just free as in freeware. I don't put it there and say, okay, do what you want with it. No, it is also a web-based. So I chose FROGPL. I've chosen also methods that are contrary to the FCPU project, because FCPU has problems, so I try to address them and I do the reverse. And it's not a big, it's not something that is going to mine your bitcoins. And also it's mainly a web-based project. So far, I have a quite stable and instruction set architecture. We celebrated 1 month ago the 10th anniversary. So I wanted to celebrate it here, but too late. And it is there's a short small subset that is coded in JavaScript and VHDL. So it is a cross simulation. So I can verify that my code, because it's totally original, I have nothing to test it against. So I build little tools that test each other against each other. So it's snowballing. So and whenever I do a tool, it tests the other tools, and when I do it, so it starts slowly at first, but and we'll see. Eventually, a little demonstration. I made it work on FPGA a little in March, so that's the first milestone. And hopefully, because we are speaking about Arduino, There's another kid in town. It's called Raspberry Pi, and I would like to make a lot, as much as possible, run on it. So what we see with the web interface is mostly running on Raspberry Pi. So, and so 2013 is 11th year. So it's coming out of submarine mode, and I'll try to have more cycles releases. And there's a lot of work to do. Hopefully, I will work. I will continue to work with Pierre on porting and on porting on D4A and dealing with the compiler issues. So let's speak a little bit about the programming programming model. It's a bit inspired by the Seymour Cray's CDC 6600, which was the fastest computer 50 years ago. But it was also very well designed and very inspiring. So I merged two aspects of the two CPU that it contained. So it's made to be very simple, very orthogonal, and made for hacking it to, because I knew it would evolve. So the structure of the instruction is very orthogonal. There are two other interesting aspects. There is no jump or branch instructions because I just write to the PC. Well, there is a call instruction because I can't emulate it. And there is no load or store instruction. It's going through registers. So it simplifies the instruction set even more. And here are all the current defined instructions. There are 46, and so I can move everything without breaking the actual instruction encoding. So if I change something in the map, I won't have to redesign the instruction decoder or the pipeline. And it, as we see, it's 16 or 32 bits. We just have to specify one bit to define the length, and it has a lot of it has a lot of flexibility because any opcode can access to any combination of operands. So we have source, destination, immediate. So that's very easy for compiler writing. So what I did to create the design, I saw how the what bits I had in the instructions and started seeing how things would go where and what bits I needed when. So we have a few encodings, and by combining everything, we can see what is really needed in hardware. And another interesting aspect, which I borrowed a bit from ARM, is that one encoding allows all the opcodes to be predicated. So it's very easy, even it's still easy for compilers. So I have so far chosen certain conditions that might change in the future because some, if I do microcontrollers, they handle bits, and application processors handle different things. So that can still evolve. Another interesting aspect is that there are 4-bit left in this instruction encoding, so we could update pointers, so we can do post-incremented, pre-decremented, etc., which is very handy and will compact the code. There's a lot to say about memory access. I'll just say that there are 5 pairs of registers, and there's address and data. And it might sound a bit crazy, but when you look at the P5, the Pentium Pro and the derivatives, when you have a store instruction, it gets decoded and split in two instructions internally, which is load instruction, check the address, and then when you get the data from memory, put it in the register. So, well, I do it, and it's even easier for software scheduling. If we have crazy pipelines, we can already manage and plan ahead for the data latency. If we have fast or and slow memories, we can optimize already. And so I have 5 minutes to tell you how to make the YZ, at least the first implementation, which I call micro YZ because it's just a subset. And I made it a bit dumb, but because I have to start somewhere. And it was meant to be used in a big project I had last year, which allowed it to be boosted. And it targets small FPGAs like those ones. So I brought a few. So here we see the smallest FPGA that can fit it. It's 1,500 logic gates with 4 blocks of RAM. It's easy. It can be targeted. It is preloaded with AVR8 core. So it's not very powerful, but it's very handy if you need a microcontroller. There are much more powerful boards, but this tiny spec is a few dollars. So why bother with microcontrollers? So when we need the small one can handle a 16-bit version, and the larger one can handle a 32-bit. So we can do more data processing, but it's still right. It's about 50 euros and made in Italy. So, and how is it made? Well, there's no mystery, paper and pen. So like Mr. Tan explained, it starts with a lot of planning and thinking. But before I reached this point, there were a lot of steps, because in the beginning, the SoC I was targeting was using SDRAM. So the idea was to use a RISC core and map the memory interface with the registers to simplify. But after, the project did not evolve as planned. So the idea of accessing memory through registers remained, and I made a smaller version with just static RAM, so without the complexity of SDRAM. And it allows it to fit in much smaller FPGAs. One interesting thing is that the instructions are quite a bit complex, apparently, but for performance, the most important thing is to know where to get the data. They are always at the same place. And the only thing that changes is where you find the register that gets written. But even that, it's just a few gates to determine it, unlike the x86, where it's all over the place. So in the end, that's one view of the micro YZ. We have the register set that is read at the first cycle. There are two phases, in fact. So first we read the registers, or we read the operands, and then we just perform the computations. That's very simple. And it follows the structure of the instruction. So we have the first part of the instruction that comes, and then the second part tells us where to write. And when we have that system, we see that, well, the register set sits alone, and we can reuse it, because we need it to determine if we write the register. So we have to test things. So in fact, I can use twice the register set, so it's very handy. And in the end, so you remember this big diagram, but it's not that complex. It's layers of things. First, we start. What a computer does is just fetch the next instruction. So we have the PC register, which contains the address of the instruction. We add one all the time, and we fetch instructions. But in this case, the only thing is that we add one only if it's a long instruction. So we put a multiplexer. Then we need to know where to write the destination. So we have to select from three fields where the address of the destination register. The next thing is the meat of the CPU. It's the data path. So we have the two source operands. We fetch, we select the source registers. We operate on them and multiply them, etc. Then we have to steer everything. We have to select. We have to know what to select where, depending on the opcode. And finally, there's another parallel path that says, "Okay, all that you did is fine, but let's abort it." So it's the condition path, and that's how we can make it Turing complete, because we can steer the instructions and all the data. So normally there's a little demonstration if we have 3 minutes. Okay, so there's not enough time, so just contact me, because I stay here for the next presentations, and we can make simulations on Firefox of the CPU running with a tiny frame buffer, and that's a very fun thing to do. Thank you for your attention, and see you later.